This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Right now, and that's all you're promised. We are not promised tomorrow.
That's right.
We're looking ahead to the weekend, and tomorrow's Thursday. We're not even promised that. The second part of the verse is what I'd like to focus on here for a few minutes this evening. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's ahead. Chances are, all of us in this room have something that's going to be difficult sometime in the future. It could be the near future, it could be way down the road. Could be physical, could be emotional, could be some kind of spiritual issue. Some kind of difficulty will arise. And that's why I look at that second part. It says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We're going to discuss here three different types of days that you can have. And the first one's going to be a little rough. And then we'll build on that and we'll end up on a high note, Lord willing. So three different kinds of days. If you look in the Bible and say, you search day of, and then there's all different things. There's day of calamity. There's day of adversity. There's the day of the Lord, which is a big one throughout your Bible, throughout your minor prophets especially. But this first one is the day of trouble. So go over to 2 Kings 19, the day of trouble. And I cover this one first so we can get it out of the way, amen? Because we want to get trouble out of the way as quick as we can, don't we? But this is an interesting situation here where it actually mentions the day of trouble. 2 Kings 19. This is Hezekiah, king of Judah, being threatened by the Assyrians. And if you read the end of chapter 18, the Assyrians come in, and this fellow, Rabshakeh, he comes in there, and he basically issues a threat and says, you will serve us, the Assyrians, and your God could not defeat us. And the reason why he says that is he says the gods of all the other nations fell, your God will fall too. Except he picked on the wrong God, didn't he?
Yep.
So if you read what happens here, look at verse 1, 2 Kings 19. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, and what I mean is all that I just mentioned in chapter 18 about being threatened, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, there it is, and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. So I'll go on in a moment, but let me just say, would you say that there's great concern with Hezekiah and the men under him about what could happen? There's a threat. There's a serious situation right on the horizon, and they obviously fear for their lives. So there's deep concern, and that's why they send to Isaiah. You understand, you're at a time in history here in 2 Kings where there was no complete word of God, so the prophets were speaking, and God would tell the prophets what kind of things to say in answer to questions like these. So if you go to verse 4, this is continue on. They're telling Isaiah. This is Hezekiah's men talking to Isaiah, verse 4. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now look what happens here, Isaiah. Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master. And this is great right here, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, be not, what's the word? Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. All right, the response to the trouble here in the first few verses there, when they get to Isaiah, Isaiah says, from the Lord says, be not afraid. Did you catch in verse 6? What the big stir was about? Why did Hezekiah and his men get all stirred up? All a man did was say some words. Now, I know you've never been stirred up by words, but I have. In fact, I had a situation in school today. The right words were said in the right tone by the right person. I was stirred up. I mean, it took about 5 seconds for my blood pressure to go up probably 180 over 140. And it's amazing how the spoken word can just cause your heart just starts racing. And then sometimes you get a little pain in the stomach. And that isn't that something? Something like that can affect your body physically. There's a connection between the spiritual and the physical, folks. There is. Or you could say between the emotional and the physical as well. So all that happened is they got stirred up about these words, and the Lord, how does the Lord respond? Isaiah gives words in response. And these words are better and more powerful than the words of that Assyrian. The words are, I'm going to read verse 6 again. Thus saith the Lord, right in the middle of the verse, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. I tell you what, if anybody blasphemes God, they got it coming. You don't have to worry about taking matters into your own hands. The Lord will take care of that in time, maybe not immediately, but he'll take care of it. I'm not going to read the rest there just for time's sake, but if you keep reading, verse 7 is fulfilled all the way to the end. Verse 7, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Do you think the Assyrians came up against the Israelites again? Nope. In fact, who was it that actually carried the Israelites, the southern kingdom, who actually carried them away? It was the Babylonians. So the Assyrians, the Lord took care of them. And they had the Israelites got a little bit more time. The people of Judah got a little bit more time there in their land, thanks to a man of God, Hezekiah. Isn't that something? There's one man right there that realized, we need the Lord's help. He calls it right there in verse 3. Hezekiah said, this day is a day of trouble. So learn a lesson from Hezekiah. I tell you, I need this. When trouble comes, your first response, I mean immediate response, should not be, let me see how I can handle this. That should not be the response. Immediate response. Down on your knees. Lord, I cannot do this. You know, I think that's music to the Lord's ears. Because the Lord thinks to himself, wow, they're finally going to let me do something. I know how I am. The Lord probably looks down and says, well, there he got himself in trouble because he didn't consult me. And when we consult the Lord and lean on him, lean not unto that own understanding, right? We lean on him, the Lord, that's when he can do something. So there's the day of trouble solved by trusting the Lord. And what did the Lord give for comfort? Words, be not afraid. Amen. What did God give you for comfort? He gave you a whole book full of words, right? Okay, another one. Go to Psalm 20. This goes hand in hand with that. Psalm 20. The Lord knew that we weren't going to have a lot of time tonight because I don't have a lot of material. I know you probably don't believe that, but I don't. All right, Psalm 20, verse 1. Oh, great verse. You ought to mark this. You ought to memorize this verse. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee when? In the day of trouble. Amen. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Did he do that to Hezekiah? Defend him? You think he might do it for you and me? I promise you he will. If you did not know this, you serve the God of the Bible, the one true and living God. You serve the God of Jacob. Jacob got his name changed to Israel. We have the same God of the Israelites, folks. They're talked about they're the main theme from Genesis 12 all through the Old Testament. It's Israel, Israel. We serve the God of Jacob. So call on the Lord in a day of trouble. How about this one? That's one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. Go to Nahum, little red book. Very few people read through the book of Nahum. And there's a lot of judgment in the book of Nahum. A lot of things about the day of the Lord. Got to go way over here to the minor prophets. Jonah, Micah, and then Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. But then you got this little nugget of a verse stuck in here. You look at verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? And you think, wow, the Lord is, he's upset. And yes, he sure is. Bringing down his wrath and vengeance. But then you get to verse 7. The Lord just kind of stuck that in there. Verse 7. The Lord is what? Good. A stronghold. Amen? When? In the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. You know what the Lord knows right here? I don't know it. You know it. I don't know it. And the Lord knows it, though, is he knows who trusts him and who doesn't. He knows how often you actually call on him and lean on him. And he wants us to call on him when times get tough. So do it. And he'll be the one to deliver you better than anybody. Amen. Paul mentioned a little relief he got this week. I consider that a day of trouble. You got any kind of pain that's long-lasting, man, that's troubling. And Brother Paul, praise God, he got a little relief from that. The Lord rescued. Day of trouble. All right, so that's about the day of trouble. I got some more on that, but I'll let you kind of search that out if you want to. Let's go to the next one. Go back 1 Samuel 13, second day. So, you know, you don't enjoy the day of trouble. We don't look forward to the day of trouble, but chances are, sooner or later, we got some times coming that'll be difficult. Lean on the Lord. 1 Samuel 13, this is going to be the day of battle. The day of battle. So 1 Samuel 13, before I read here, we'll go down to verse 19. Before I read, are you in a battle? If you're saved, you need to know that there's a battle that God would have you be engaged in. Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And who do we end up fighting with more than anybody? Flesh and blood. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he lays out the armor of God there. If you're going to go into battle, what do you need? You need protection. You need armor. He lays that all out for you in Ephesians 6. So just keep that in mind. In the day of battle, you better be equipped, right? Let's read what happens here in 1 Samuel 13. Very interesting. Verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So this would be the earliest form of what we would now call today gun control. Taking away weapons. And taking away weapons that would defend you and your family. There's no smith in the land of Israel. So where are the Hebrews having to go? They're having to go to the Gentiles, the Philistines, to get swords and spears. Now look at this, verse 20. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goats. So look at verse 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. A couple things about that verse. It says there's nobody that had sword or spear in the day of battle. How's that going to turn out? Jonathan and Saul are the only people that have weapons to fight the enemy in the day of battle. If you don't have a weapon to fight the enemy in the day of battle, what's your success rate like? Got a high casualty rate, I'll tell you that. It's not going to be good. Not going to be a good success rate. So I go to the day of battle here, just to all of us. I need to be reminded of this much as anybody. We got to make sure we got our sword and our shield of faith. And I say the two-edged sword of the Word of God. Shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got all that armor on, helmet of salvation, right? Got all that on because you need it in the day of battle. It should not be, unfortunately, verse 22 is a commentary on a lot of churches today. It should not be that the only people that have the armor all ready to go are the pastor and maybe whoever's under him, leadership. Shouldn't be like that. Here's a case where the leadership are the only ones that have weapons. Should not be like that. In fact, I love what we have here because you come here and we get equipped. Jonathan did it Sunday morning. Obviously, our pastor does it often. We've had other men here equip you so that not just the person up here is equipped, but so you walk out of here, you're ready. For what? Day of battle. It's coming. All right, another one on that. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Day of battle. Be ready for this one. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour, right? So there's the battle. He's on the prowl. 78:9. Psalm 78:9. Now here is how not how you don't want to be in the day of battle. So here's another one that kind of goes along where we started there in 1 Samuel 78:9. Psalm 78, verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, what'd they do? Turn back in the day of battle. Over there in 1 Samuel, they didn't have weapons. Well, that's not going to go well. Here they have the weapons, and what do? Run away. I think that's some Christians today too. You got the whole armor. You got the sword in the hand, and you turn and run. You know the armor has no covering for the back. You know why? The Lord says several times in Ephesians 6, he says, stand against. You know what that means? Face up. All right, here's a contrast to that. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 28:1, one of my favorite verses. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know what should mark the righteous? Boldness. Don't turn tail and run. Be bold, especially if you're equipped. If you've got the armor, then let's go. The day of battle, you're ready, so fight. Okay, go to Psalm 140. Psalm 140, day of battle. Another one on the day of battle, then we'll get this last one here before we go. Psalm 140. Oh, it's a good one. This is a good one. Psalm 140, verse 7. You need comfort, or read, just pick a psalm. If you can't find, pick just about any psalm, if you can't find at least a couple verses in just about any psalm that will comfort you when you're going through a tough time, then I don't think you're reading very carefully. There's all kinds of things in here. Look at Psalm 140, verse 7. This would be a good prayer right here. Good prayer of thanksgiving. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in a day of battle. You know, verse 8 goes along with that. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. You know what's a great weapon in the battle, in the day of battle? Those two verses right there you could use as your own personal prayers. Prayer is a great weapon in the day of battle, isn't it? Amen. All right, so there's the day of battle. There's a whole lot more on that, but I'll let you search that out. Let's get this last one. Go over to Exodus, back Exodus chapter 14. This will be the third day. 3 days that you got on the horizon. And this one might not sound like it's coming if you're saved, but it is. You got the day of trouble. You got the day of battle. How about the day of salvation? Now, if you're saved, you have a day in the past, amen, that you marked on the calendar, or at least maybe you can recall about the time it was, the day that you were born again, the day the Holy Spirit came to live inside you, the day that you became a new creature, the day that you had access to God directly through Jesus Christ. I mean, we can go on with this. God gave us a bunch when we got saved. I didn't know a little bit of it when I first got saved. I had to find all that out. All kinds of things the Lord does for you after you get saved. So Exodus 14, you got the day of salvation. I think we ought to look back to that day and thank the Lord for it. And there's something in the future we ought to think about concerning salvation as well. So look at Exodus 14. I thought this was kind of neat right here. This actually does not mention day of salvation directly, but it does indirectly. Go to 14. This is the Israelites. They left Egypt. They're on the run. They come to this big body of water. What is it? It's the Red Sea. What's right behind them? Pharaoh and his army. I mean, you got the picture? Whatever's in your mind is better than the movie. I'm just telling you. You got the picture in your mind here? What are we going to do? I mean, this is a predicament. This is quite the day of trouble. All we got, what are we going to run in the water and escape? We're going to drown if we go in the water. If we turn another way, we're going to run into a battle. Lord, what do we do? The Lord gives the answer. Look at Exodus 14:10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, when I look at verses 11 and 12, I see, unfortunately, I see myself in there at times, but what I see right there is I see some people that are in a time of trouble, and they start thinking about how things used to be when it wasn't all that great, but they're so messed up mentally and spiritually here as well They think they used to have good times in Egypt. Come on, what was going on in Egypt? They were slaves. It was not a good life in Egypt. That's why they left. So they got out of there in a hurry. When the Pharaoh finally said, get out of here. Okay, we're not going to think again. Let this guy think for a while. We might change his mind. And he would have. So look at verse 12 or verse 13. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, mark it. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Isn't that something? Moses said, don't do anything other than trust God. Don't move. Don't move. There's a time to do that. There's a time where you gotta actually have some action, but then there's also a time where you can't. He puts them in this situation where they can't do anything but stand still. Because it's one way we're going to die, other way we're going to die. Well, we might as well trust God. What did the Lord do? I'll let you read this. This is what I love this account. This really happened. This is real history. The Lord allowed those Israelites to pass that cross that Red Sea on dry land while the waters were separated on each side. The waters were a wall on both sides. Then as soon as the last Israelite got across, what did the Lord do? The Egyptians are coming through there. Oh, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. The Lord took care of them. What did Israel have to do in order for the Lord to work a miracle in their time of trouble? Nothing, except trust him. Stand still. Sometimes our action gets in the way. There's a time to stand still. So there's day of salvation. It mentions salvation there in verse 13, which is deliverance, and the Lord delivered them. All right, go over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. I tell you what, let's save that one. Let's go to New Testament. We'll end up here. Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. If you want to look at Isaiah 49:8, it's a good one, but we'll just wrap up here. Luke 19. This is the story of Zacchaeus, and I won't read the whole story for you because you're probably familiar with this. Zacchaeus, wee little man, right? Climbed up in the sycamore tree, wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord looked up in the tree, saw him, tells him to come down. He says, I'm going to have lunch with you today. So look down there, Luke 19 and verse 9. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now look at verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to, watch the wording, salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Back to verse 9. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house on a particular day. How was salvation in his house? Who was in his house? The Lord Jesus Christ is in his house. He literally had salvation in his house that day. You think Zacchaeus looked back on that day and told people about it? Yeah. The day of salvation. He looked back on that. Now, day of salvation out in the future. If you're saved, that's something from the past where you trusted the Lord, what he did for you on the cross. But then there's a day out in the future you're looking forward to, hopefully. And it is when you become complete with the glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, at the rapture. And you could call that, in a sense, a day of salvation. That's deliverance from this wicked flesh. Amen? Amen. All right, so I gave you 3 days. We had the day of trouble, the day of battle, day of salvation. I like that last one the best, by the way. It's my favorite. So how did you get salvation? I gave you 3 days. 1, 2, 3. 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. I tell you, you look at that thing about 3 days in the Scriptures, that speaks of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, you can look it up, Matthew 12:30. As the Son of Man, it was 3 days, 3 days and 3 nights. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Why only 3 days and 3 nights? What happened after 3 days and 3 nights? Death defeated. Defeated. So I put this down about the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of trouble, he endured it for us. Amen? He endured it. The day of battle, he rose from the dead and was victorious in the day of battle. Amen? And then the day of salvation, because he endured the cross, because he rose victorious over death, he offers salvation, which is the ultimate victory in this life. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get victory? Through Jesus Christ. How do you win the day of trouble? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you win the day of battle? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. How did you get salvation? Lord Jesus Christ. All right, there's a lot. If you want to do a little search and search day of battle, day of trouble, I left out a bunch. So I'll let you take a look at that on your own here. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just the great encouragement your word offers. Every time we just take the time to read and think about what's on the page, Lord, just great encouragement to us. Lord, we don't know what's ahead, especially with the storm coming. We're just going to give this completely over to you and ask you to protect each of our families, each of our houses, places we live. Lord, we ask you to protect this church, protect our building as there's obviously a concern there, but we're just going to give that to you and ask you to just put your hedge around this building and keep it safe throughout whatever may be ahead. We just pray for wisdom in the days ahead, and Lord, help us be ready for these days that are coming, day of trouble, day of battle. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So no great picking, and we'll let you know about Sunday.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.